Movie, film, 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 film,
looking for your Turbo Man action figure. You're listening to Movie Film.
It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a Christmas movie or a Christmas film. I'm Nate, and in this universe, there's only one absolute. Everything freezes.
And I'm Terrell. And oh, fudge. Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word. The big one. The queen mother of dirty words. The F-dash-dash-dash word.
I'm guessing that's a Christmas story.
It is.
Sounds like a Christmas story thing.
Yes. A classic, classic, classic moment from a Christmas story. Yours sounds like Tropic Thunder.
No, it's Batman and Robin, Mr. Freeze.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Arnold.
We are talking about Arnold.
And we did Batman last week.
That was the one that popped in my head. You know the scene where Ben Stiller is doing like the fake movie and it's like the world has frozen over? Yeah.
Yeah, true. But that's like a parody of Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
The puns.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing Jingle All the Way
today. We're doing Jingle All the Way! Christmas essential.
But first, we're going to talk about some stuff we watched this week.
Yeah.
We started our week with me showing you Fighting With My Family. I was considering picking it for the podcast. Not Christmas enough, though.
Right.
There's a good Christmas
scene. There's a good Christmas scene.
The Chris Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think?
Yeah, you said it was good and you were right.
Mm-hmm.
You were right. And I was kind of sleepy. It was kind of late. And you were just like, you want to watch this? I said, we could start it.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished it because I was into it. It was just like, it was funny. And it was just well acted and well performed. And it was just like being hit with waves after waves of nostalgia back when I used to watch wrestling. You know, all my faves were in there. It was like plenty of, Stone Cold references. The Rock popped up. The Big Show was in there. The Miz was in there. It was just a lot of familiarity in there that I was just like, oh, this is great. And also the mom was really great from
Lena,
Game of Thrones.
Lena Headey.
Oh, she's phenomenal in that. She's so good.
Yeah. And Nick Frost.
Nick Frost, who is
Florence Pugh, of course, in the lead. Kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Florence. Yeah. She carries it.
And a good Vince Vaughn performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, a solid Vince Vaughn. I really enjoyed it. I thought they phoned it in a little bit at the end.
Hmm.
But
well, the whole thing is a WWE commercial. It's like they started a movie studio and this is their first movie.
Yeah.
And it becomes like a WrestleMania commercial.
Yeah.
And then they show the footage of the real Paige at the end and it's like, okay, that's what wrestling looks like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. I was like, because it's based on reality and this is what really happened, then I'm like, I'm going to forgive it for turning like super cheesy towards the end, because towards the end I it's all about that wrestling persona. It's all about that persona that you give to the people, and I was just waiting for her to bring that persona, and she just never found it. It was more of a just I'm an outsider and this is for the outsider, which is like, you know, it's not something that only she could say, honestly. That's what I was looking for. Because that's kind of what the movie...
Well, with all the other characters at the wrestling boot camp.
True,
they
yeah.
made the argument that, at least with the women, she was an outsider.
Yeah, with the women, she was definitely an outsider.
Yeah. It's a good one, though.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even really into wrestling.
I was.
I don't know, still enjoy it, though. I went to a wrestling birthday party, and I used to play that video game.
I like dressing up as wrestlers for Halloween.
Mm.
Yeah.
I have been continuing my 25 days of Christmas movies and films.
Crazy.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to 25, but It is the 10th, and I'm at 10, so we're good so
far. You're on track.
I counted Citizen Kane as a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it in preparation for Mank. Thank you, David Fincher, for getting me to watch Citizen Kane. I don't really like your movie that much, but Citizen Kane was great.
That's what I hear.
So I'm not going to talk about Mank, but Citizen Kane, I mean, 1941, it's really the Citizen Kane of movies.
Right, it's the Citizen Kane of Citizen Kane.
It's weird, because the David Fincher one is made in the same style, but the one from 80 years ago feels way fresher.
Mm.
Just the confidence in the way it was made and the storytelling really holds up. And, you know, Humphrey Bogart's great. And even, like, the old man makeup was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
It was good for his time.
It was 1941.
Right.
And I kind of bought it when he was an old man.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, the way that story is told was really interesting. And I see... I mean, that's a movie that's obviously a classic and influenced many of my favorite directors. So to just watch that and then think about, like, how Martin Scorsese structures some of his movies, like Wolf of Wall Street or Goodfellas,
mm-hmm.
like, in the same way, I don't know, it was really interesting in that sense.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say about Citizen Kane, because I fell asleep on it. I watched A Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah, that's on my list of potential ones. That's Shane Black wrote that, and he writes all the Christmas action movies.
Yeah, it's very Christmassy, very action-y. You get Gina Davis, and you get Samuel Jackson. It was kind of like, it felt like it was trying to be like one of those Christmassy action movies, like Die Hard and Lethal Weapon. And something else.
Lethal Weapon, that's a Shane Black.
It is?
Yeah,
that's a Shane Black screenplay. I think he also wrote the second Die Hard as well.
That's possible.
Yeah. And I think I would have enjoyed it more if I had, like, nostalgia tied to it.
Mm.
But since I didn't, I was a little less forgiving to it.
It's like about amnesia, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like
I don't know if I can watch an amnesia comedy.
Yeah, she has an amnesia, and then it's like she was an assassin, and now her old life is coming back to get her.
So it's like Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Like
Jason Bourne, yeah.
But Christmas. Actually, I think Bourne Identity is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I appreciate this movie for walking so that Atomic Blonde could run, you know what I mean? So Atomic Blonde could really soar. Because this is, it reminded me a bit of Atomic Blonde a little bit. If you decide to watch it, you'll see what I'm talking about with Gina Davis, her performance in it. And it's Gina Davis. She's great. She's phenomenal. I mean, yeah.
I watched 3 Rooney Mara Christmas movies. Mm. First, right after Mank, I watched the next day The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Not my favorite Fincher. Liked it more than Mank.
Mm-hmm.
Like it more than Benjamin Button. Still haven't seen Alien 3, but I've heard it's not good.
It's, you know, if you like Alien.
Yeah. So it's like those, and then Dragon Tattoo, and then the rest of his.
Mm-hmm.
But this was only my second time seeing it. And it's really good. It's like David Fincher indulges in like the most Finchery parts of his filmmaking. Like it's just so dark and cold and cynical and just procedural. I found that interesting. And Rooney Mara's performance is really good. Then I watched Mary Magdalene, which I promised I would check out after my run of Joaquin Phoenix movies last month. Right. I had to see him play Jesus. we don't see the birth of Jesus, so I guess it's not really, I guess it's more of an Easter movie.
Okay.
Because you see the crucifixion. Not good. This was like one of the last Weinstein Company movies.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty self-important. Mary Magdalene played by Rooney Mara. It doesn't look good. I loved the score, though, done by Johan Johansson, I think was his name. Johan. Hildur something. Something Swedish or Icelandic.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that won the Oscar for the Joker score.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, it was, like, not what you would expect from, like, a Weinstein-y biblical movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, heavenly and mostly strings, but then, like, percussions that were period accurate, but then sometimes just, like, synthesizers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that communicated more than anything in the movie, just, like, how awesome Jesus's power is. Like,
right.
I mean, I don't personally feel this way, like, as a Jew, but just like in the movie, it was like they introduced this otherworldly element to this period film.
Mm.
I thought that was really cool.
Hmm. And what's the third one?
Third one is Carol, the best of the three.
Ooh, nah, I was going to save that.
What?
I was going to save that. Like, I have that on my watch list for a certain week.
Yeah, it's A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen it before. I was tempted to pick it, but I did Poison for Halloween. I didn't want to pick another Todd Haynes movie for our holiday month.
Right.
Cate Blanchett is great. The production design is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The film stock that they use, like, it's so grainy and just perfect. And so full of life,
mm-hmm.
even though the characters we're seeing are very cold and distant. But then just the Christmas setting and the fuzziness of the film and the natural lighting. It just looks so good. And I really like how Todd Haynes tells this story.
All right.
And there's a gun. I didn't think it would have a gun.
But there's a gun.
At one point.
I watched one more thing that I could talk about, and I won't talk too much about it because I don't want to spoil it because it was just released. And that is The Sound of Metal, directed by Darius Marder. It's on Amazon Prime, guys. Go check it out. I've been anticipating this picture for a long time. And it did not disappoint.
Mm.
Just didn't. I was just like, wow. I mean, that opening scene.
Yeah, I watched it with you.
Yeah, we watched it together.
I agree. It didn't disappoint.
That opening scene was so
just amazing. The metal show.
And yeah, the metal show was just so chaotic and it was so loud. And it was just like, yeah, okay, I'm on board. Like, I was on board, like, as soon as, like, she started yelling. As soon as she started screeching, I was just like, ooh, what is this? What is this sound?
I think they should have had a bassist.
But, yeah, but it was just vocals and drum. That was it. Yeah, it was hard.
Well, and guitar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the strobe light and the black background. Though they did this thing where they did one show and then they get in their Airstream van thing to drive to another show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, very clear that they filmed both at the same on the same stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the movie a lot, though. Riz Ahmed's excellent.
He is excellent
as a metal drummer who loses his hearing and has to face again his addictions.
Yeah,
the fact that he's an addict. He doesn't turn to drugs or alcohol, but
he's addicted to something else as well.
It's just his mindset.
Yeah.
And that's something I've seen a lot in movies about disabled folks. Like the Theory of Everything, the Hawking movie, and that Joaquin Phoenix paraplegic movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boston Marathon, Jake Gyllenhaal movie, Stronger, mm-hmm. where they take these characters and instead of now just making it about them experiencing being differently abled, they add addiction to it. Or alcoholism or abuse.
Yeah.
It makes them hard to watch,
yeah.
but good. And characters feel more fleshed out.
Yeah. Yeah. Also really want to point out the sound design of Sound of Metal is amazing.
Yeah, really well done.
Really well done to put you inside of his head and to really just make you as uncomfortable as he is, or at least try to put you in that place where it sounds ugly, or you just...
It's not how you're used to hearing a movie.
Yeah, it's not. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cool how much they played with sound throughout the whole picture. That is Sound of Metal, guys. And that's the last thing I can talk about. Do you have anything else, Nate?
Yeah, I want to talk about two more.
Okay.
First, RXmas.
Yeah, what is that?
It's a 2001 Christmas movie directed by Abel Ferrara, who did King of New York and Bad Lieutenant. It's hardcore. It's Jingle All the Way for the adults.
Yeah.
It's the post 9/11, pre 9/11 Christmas movie. It's set in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Released in 2001.
Are the
they
towers...
ostensibly filmed it before 9/11.
So the towers are like, do they show it in the movie? Like, is there a shot of the towers?
I don't remember seeing the towers.
Okay.
I'd have to watch again, but just really interesting. And it has some strongly political themes about the end of, what was that mayor's name? The mayor before Rudy Giuliani.
Hmm.
I forget his name. And it ends with just like, and then now Rudy Giuliani's going to take over. Let's see how that goes.
Right.
And it's like, for that time, for it to be as cynical about the city politics. I mean, 2001, everyone loved Giuliani.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It, shit did not get better, though.
Yeah.
So, like, the Sinbad role, kind of, would be Ice-T,
mm-hmm.
who plays a dirty cop, extorting our lead, who's a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Ice-T always gets kidnapped. The wife has to, like, raise the money to save him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And it's short, which I liked. And I just saw the Jingle All the Way comparisons, and I enjoyed King of New York earlier this year, so I had to check that one out.
Nice.
My second one, I watched it today to compliment Jingle All the Way, because it's also directed by Brian Levant. The Flintstones.
Yay.
1994, John Goodman as Fred, looking real sexy in his Fred Flintstone
real sexy
outfit. Very physical performance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Rick Moranis as his Barney Rubble. The Rick Moranis, Rosie O'Donnell pairing as Barney and Betty perfect. Is so funny. And she definitely doms him.
Yes. Yes.
And I completely forgot about the villains, Cliff Vandercave, played by Kyle MacLachlan, mm-hmm. and Sharon Stone, played by Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Also, Elizabeth Taylor's in this.
Yeah, she's the mom, right? Or no?
She's Pearl. She's Pearl Slag Hoople. She's like the neighbor. Or is she the mom? She's Wilma's mom.
She's Wilma's mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Fred's real mean to her. And it's really funny. And it's the only Elizabeth Taylor movie I've seen, so I need to fix that.
All right.
Love the production design. These Disney live-action remakes just settle with a lot of animation, like mm-hmm. CGI anyway. But this, no. They take the cartoon, do it live action.
And they, yeah,
gonna
they
have
build
all these
it.
Practical effects. We're going to have puppets for all the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
The puppets look great.
Yeah.
It's like the Disney movies try to take themselves really seriously now because they're live action.
Mm-hmm. And they got the budget.
It's not fun. This is fun. Lots of great gags. Very campy.
Mm-hmm.
Great performances.
Just a great time.
It's a gay old time.
It's a gay old time. I was just about to say it.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yep, the 90s, man. What a treat. So many treats. It has a 2-3 on Letterboxd, but people don't like fun. People don't like fun.
So, let's get to that other Brian Levant movie.
Yeah.
And let's hear the trailer for Jingle All the Way.
Every holiday season, there's one toy everyone has to have.
I want the Turbo Man action figure with the arms and legs that move and the Rock and Roar jetpack and the boomerang shooter.
Getting it is every child's dream.
Whoever doesn't can be a real loser.
Finding it.
You got the doll, right?
Is this father's nightmare.
I'll get that toy. I promise.
Whoa! Nothing like waiting till the last minute, Howitzer.
Especially on Christmas Eve.
Your Christmas spirit.
The last one just left.
No. It's two fathers.
This is war.
One mission.
Whoa! Oh, poor baby.
And every man for himself.
I think maybe, you know, we could join up as a team. You know, like Starsky and Hutch.
We're a late delivery of Turbo Man.
That toy works. Let's go.
Is there a problem, officer?
You can never do too much to make a child's Christmas magical.
Hey, buddy.
From the director of Mrs. Doubtfire.
You want a Turbo Man for Christmas?
Forget it. I'm not going to sit in your lap.
Tony, show him.
That was taken this morning.
And from the director of the Flintstones.
Don't open that up. No.
Of course, there's some assembly required.
You know what you guys are?
Nothing but a bunch of sleazy con men in red suits.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sinbad.
I work for the post office and I'm unstable. Tell him.
This man is totally insane.
Thank you.
Christmas comes but once a year.
Jingle all the way.
You picked the wrong day.
Jingle All the Way is a 1996 American Christmas family comedy directed by Brian Levant, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad.
And little Anakin.
Yeah, Jake Lloyd and Rita Wilson and Phil Hartman. We could keep going. We will. We'll get into it.
Phil Hartman.
This and Home Alone are like the two Christmas movies that I've seen the most.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this one a lot too.
I probably like Home Alone better, but I have a soft spot for this one.
Yeah.
And I think it's very funny.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It's a Christmas essential. It's one that I watch just about every year. You know, it's probably like top five, top 10 Christmas for me.
Yeah, I guess one thing I like probably that drew me to it as a young Jew was it's not like a warm-hearted, feel-good Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's about the capitalism side of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What Christmas is really all about.
Yep. The
true meaning of Christmas.
Get that toy, make that kid happy, or else you're a failure.
I guess I also liked toys at the time, so.
Yeah.
As into that.
Yeah.
And Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, come on.
My dad showed me Terminator when I was probably too young to watch Terminator, but Terminator's great.
It's great.
So I love Schwarzenegger. I was on board.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Kindergarten Cop at the time.
Yeah.
Probably would hate that movie
Last
now.
Action Hero.
Actually, I haven't seen that one.
He's in so many movies in like the 80s and 90s
star.
All his stuff was just on TV growing up. So
yeah, so Christmas comedy, family comedy, it works pretty well. Mm-hmm. This director, Brian Levant, looking at the movies he's done, he seems to have a style, which is take a very macho figure and kind of neuter them with a family comedy. So he did Jingle All the Way with Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Are We There Yet with Ice Cube.
He did
Spy Next Door with Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Snow Dogs. Shout out to the Snow Dog crew.
That was the most frustrating movie-going experience of my childhood.
That's crazy.
Because the marketing led me to believe that the Snow Dogs would be talking throughout the whole movie and not just that one dream sequence.
That dream sequence, yeah.
Like a two-minute scene that pissed me off so much.
Yo, you have no idea
and
how
that's
many
why I
times.
Watched the Flintstones and not Snow Dogs today.
You have no idea how many times I watched Snow Dogs as a kid.
I've seen it a lot.
My mom bought me the DVD for Christmas, one Christmas, I think, and like I would come home after school and just put on Snow Dogs. It's brilliant.
He also did Beethoven, but
yeah.
doesn't have an action star in it.
No.
Unless you count Charles Grodin as an action star.
If it's the theme. If it's the brand that he has.
Yeah. Should we get into it? It's based on the Cabbage Patch Kid craze of the 80s. Mm-hmm. But it coincided with the Tickle Me Elmo craze of the mid-90s.
Yes. That's what I thought about. I think about Tickle Me Elmo every time I watch this. Mm. I'm just like, yeah, it'd be people went crazy.
Did you get a Tickle Me Elmo?
No, I never had it. I wasn't a big Sesame Street fan, so I never was just like, give me a Tickle Me Elmo. I think I had a Bert
I like Dolly Sesame when Street. I was a kid. I don't love Elmo.
Yeah, I wasn't like Big Elmo. I was like Team Bert Grover. And Ernie. I was Bert and Ernie.
Bert Ernie.
Yeah.
Grover, Big Bird.
Yeah.
Snuffleupagus.
Nice. Nice. But yeah, I was just like, growing, when I got older, I was like, Elmo was that big? And then my little cousin had a Tickle Me Elmo, and it was the stupidest toy ever.
It's annoying.
All it does is,
you put it in your closet, and it falls off the shelf, and you just hear,
it was real stupid.
This movie was panned by the critics when it came out, and the audiences didn't love it that much either. People saw it as a cash grab, trying to just sell the toy. But apparently, they rushed the production out to get it out in Christmas, and they didn't produce that many Turbo Man toys in time. So it really wasn't that.
Right. I was about to say, is there even any Turbo Man toys? I didn't realize there's some on eBay,
and which is what's funny is that now they're actually like a rare item.
Right. They're worth money now. Yeah.
Yeah, which kind of goes with the legend Jingle All the Way. Any other thoughts?
I guess I'm in the unpopular opinion that this is great.
Well, I picked it, so.
Yeah, you picked it, so you're also on that.
I was thinking about going with an edgy Christmas movie, but we have something in store later this month. We should take care of that.
The edgy.
Those who have an appetite for edgy Christmas
movies. Plus, we also just did Batman, and that's an edgy one. That's an edgy pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know. Balance. Balance.
So, we begin with Turbo Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very Mighty Morphin Power Rangers-esque show.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a sidekick Booster, who's a pink saber-toothed tiger that everyone hates.
Everyone hates. Poor Booster. But yeah, it's the climax of the show. It's the end of the show where, you know, the good guys and the bad guys, they culminate and they start to fight. And Dementor has a kid and, you know, Turbo Man saves the kid.
Yeah, he says his evil catchphrase, ta-ta, Turbo Man. But Turbo Man says his catchphrase, it's Turbo Time.
It's Turbo Time. And, you know, when he says it's Turbo's time, it's a wrap.
Yeah, the action sequences are cut in between the opening credits. I just liked the comic book style font.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool with the 3D effect.
Yeah.
The hand drawn illustrations. And then we cut to Jamie, little Jake Lloyd, watching the Turbo Man show on TV.
Yep. Cheering along and punching and kicking or whatever, you know, what kids do when they get excited and are being interactive with the TV.
He's wondering where Dad is.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother, played by Rita Wilson, says he's probably working hard. But we cut to an office Christmas party.
Yeah.
So he's up.
He's working.
He's up at the top. He's a head dog.
Mm-hmm.
Taking some calls,
kissing some butt.
Yeah, telling everyone that they're his number one customer.
Right.
And while he's doing this, it's like a montage of him on the phone just buttering people up.
Yeah.
And he's signing papers, and he's signing Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Ah, a little Easter egg. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and then his wife calls to ask him where he is, that he has to get home for his son's karate show. What is it? Karate
ceremony. Yeah, it's a belt ceremony. He's going to go up a class.
Yeah, but the way he's speaking to his wife is so disingenuous. And then he even ends up saying, and you're my number one customer.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. But she hangs up. And he is so optimistic that he's going to make it. And little Jamie's just like, you know, he's not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
He like he you already can tell knows the
this
game.
Isn't the first this time isn't the he's first been time. Disappointed yeah. by his dad.
Mm-hmm. And so Howard is off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's off. But
there's traffic.
There's traffic. A lot of traffic. And he thinks he's the smartest man on the road because he just rides to the shoulder.
He's an asshole.
Yeah. Cutting traffic. But he gets pulled over by a police officer who really doesn't want to hear his excuse that he's late for his son's karate ceremony.
And this is intercut with the karate ceremony where mm-hmm. we meet Phil Hartman playing their neighbor Ted, who can best be described, I saw this on Letterboxd, as horny Ned Flanders.
Ooh, horny Ned Flanders.
Because he's next to Liz, Howard's wife, and he's got the camcorder. Mm-hmm. And we see other neighborhood women courting him, because apparently...
They're actually horny for him.
Yeah.
They're very horny
he's
for him.
He's recently widowed, and he's a handyman.
Yeah. So everyone wants him to come over and fix things.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Howard's getting the DUI test, trying to list the letters backwards.
Yeah, walk straight line and all that stuff.
Ends up with that speeding ticket.
Yep.
Doesn't make it.
Doesn't make it. He's so late that the lights are off and the janitor is sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he goes home. Of course, he lives in a cul-de-sac. I feel like so many Christmas movies
happening
take place on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, Friday After Next.
Hmm.
Wait.
That's a Christmas movie?
Never mind, I'm sorry. That's no, Friday, next Friday? Yeah, Friday After Next is one. Hmm. But it doesn't take place in a cul-de-sac. Next Friday does. So, scratch all that.
All right. we see on the roof, well, we see driving into the sack that lots of Christmas decorations, which is to be expected from a Christmas movie or film. But there's one house that doesn't have that many, and that's the one that Howard pulls into.
Yep.
But
Ted is here to save the holiday, and he is actually putting up Christmas decorations, which doesn't make Howard happy that another man is fixing up his house.
Yeah. Inside, Jamie's watching a Turbo Man commercial for the Turbo Man toy.
Yeah. And Howard tries to explain himself to his wife, Liz, and she's like, look, I'm not the one who karate ceremony you miss. You need to go talk to your son. And so he tries to go to his son and be all cheerful and happy and just like, ooh, nice belt. How do you do this? Wah, wah, hi-ya, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the son is just like, look, you did this before. Like, what's this not new? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, it's a very strained father-son relationship.
Very strained, yeah. He is not letting the dad off easy anymore.
But he decides, okay, I'll win him over with a Christmas gift. Tell me
what you want.
2 days before Christmas, what you want for Christmas.
Yeah.
And Jamie plays coy, like he doesn't know. It doesn't matter, I already wrote Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, okay, fine. And then he recites the whole Turbo Man commercial.
Yeah.
About the exact type of Turbo Man.
The included
figure.
Arms, not included
the
with batteries.
Turbo pack.
And, yes.
Yeah. And he says, everyone's getting one. Whoever doesn't get one's going to be a real loser. So the stakes are high.
The stakes are high.
But sweet, sweet, naive Howard thinks this is his chance to reconnect with his son. We'll just get the toy. It'll be good.
It'll be no big deal.
So he goes back to his wife, very happy about the conversation he had with his son. He mentions Turbo Man.
Mm-hmm.
And now Liz says, oh yeah, did you buy that? I asked you 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And he lies to his wife because he's a great guy.
Yeah, he says, oh, yeah, totally, yeah, I got it. I just got to go pick it up from the office or
you
whatever.
You know, I got the one with the turbo jetpack and the extendable arms.
Just repeating what his son just told him.
Yeah, and then they get in bed and she says, good, because it's the hardest toy to get this year or something. And then you get the shot of the lights going off and him looking horrified.
Yeah, horrified. Great shot. Next morning.
Christmas Eve.
Howard has to makes up an excuse that he has to go to work.
Yeah, he says he left the doll at the office.
Right. Outside, we see that Ted has a reindeer.
Well, first, Jamie says that his dad has to come back in time for the winter entertainment parade because Turbo Man's going to be there. And he really wants his dad to experience that with him. So he promises that he'll be there. He won't miss it.
Exactly. Ted has a reindeer, which is crazy. A live reindeer who doesn't like Howard.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Yeah. Likes Howard less than his son does.
Yep.
Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that Ted got a Turbo Man months ago. It's nestled under his tree.
Yep. We cut to Howard going to the toy store.
Yeah, massive crowd outside.
Massive crowd.
It's before it opens. They're trying to get in early.
Yeah, but nope. It's a two minutes till the store opens, so you gotta wait. And he gets pushed back to the end of the crowd. And this is where we meet Sinbad's character, Myron.
Yeah, Myron was originally supposed to be Joe Pesci.
Ooh.
But the producers thought that Pesci was too short to be in a movie with Schwarzenegger, which is weird because he did those movies with DeVito.
Right? Didn't he do Twins?
He did Twins and he did Junior with DeVito.
Right.
So, he was way shorter than Pesci. But, I mean, it got Sinbad the role and Sinbad crushes it.
Yeah, Sinbad kills it.
Also, Tim Allen, apparently, the first choice for Howard.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He got the Santa Claus, which is great. So let's,
It's my little, casting tidbits.
Nice. I like when you do that.
We meet Sinbad, who's a postal worker.
And a conspiracy theorist.
He's a truth teller. That's what I wrote in my notes.
Truth teller?
Well, he goes on a rant about the corporations, the corporatization of Christmas. And
there's like, there's some truth in there. And then there's the part about the chips and the planting the chips in the kid's head.
We're both holding phones in our hands right now.
That is true.
What's that Ladybird line? They didn't need to put it in our heads. We'll buy it ourselves.
Yeah, we'll carry it around.
Yep. But his truth-telling is played off as a joke. And he ends up choking someone in the crowd.
He does. It's a lady.
He says his wife, like, now he's paying, he says, now I'm paying alimony to the woman who slept with every guy in the postal office except for me.
Yeah. I mean, he want to choke her, and he starts choking this lady, but not too aggressively.
No.
She's just kind of startled, and everyone is startled. By the fact that he's doing this.
But then the store opens and it is a stampede.
Yep. Free for all. Free for all. The Turbo Man action figure is sold out. And so they try to be like, hey, do you got any in the back that you're hiding from us? Because that's what retailers do. and they laugh at them.
Yeah. One of the employees played by Chris Parnell in his first film role, apparently. Mm-hmm. They all start laughing. Then all the customers join in when they say, hey, these guys want Turbo Man.
Yeah, and then they start laughing and like, they're like, where have you been?
They offer him Booster.
Yeah, you can have Booster.
But no one wants Booster.
No one wants Booster. That's why there's so many Boosters. So yeah, everyone knows how popular this toy is except for them two.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Myron ends up whacking Howard when, the opportunity to get a Turbo Man toy.
Yeah, he's given a lead about a lady that had a Turbo Man toy on layaway.
Yeah,
and so the race is on pretty much between them two.
Myron whacks Howard, but Howard ends up getting to the woman in the fur coat first.
Yeah, he like trips him with a toy car.
True, with the RC car.
Yeah, with the RC car. Yeah. Did you ever have one of those? I had one.
Maybe.
I had the one that you could crash, and then it would just, like, flip.
Oh, I remember the commercials for that.
Yeah, I had that.
It's good for reckless drivers.
Yes.
I definitely had remote control things. Howard gets to the woman first, and he buys her bag of toys for three times the price
that she paid for. Three times, because money is not a thing.
And, When he stopped her, she's like, what, do you want my number?
Mm-hmm.
So he gives her the money, she gives him the toys and her number.
But it turns out to be just Booster. Which also, like, if you were, like, looking, you could also tell that was a Booster toy.
It was sticking out of the bag.
He just was not paying attention at all. But I don't feel bad for him because he threw it away. So like the money he spent on him meant nothing.
Yeah, this next sequence made me giggle. It's Howard's in the car driving around to different toy stores, but the way they shoot it is he's in the car and it's the neon signs all saying toys, and it's toys. Like the old Hollywood thing of like bars usually on the reflection. Mm-hmm. Big city lights,
but it's toys, and everyone's laughing at him in this montage.
And it's like a sad little moment. They got chestnuts roasting on an open fire playing. I forgot how many of the classic Christmas songs are in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're laughing and trying to get him like, hey, we got Booster, you know, and it's just no luck. Back at home, the kids are fighting over who gets to be Turbo Man and who gets to be Booster.
No one wants to be Booster.
Nope.
Meanwhile, Liz is cooking gingerbread cookies, but Ted shows up, insists that she take a break, take a shower. He unties the apron off of her, says, I'll take care of it.
Yep.
The untying is like around her waist, so he's pretty much embracing her.
Yeah, he's Ted's pushing up creep. Heavy. Yeah.
I think it's funny, though. And he gets his comeuppance, so not saying it's okay, but it's funny. Phil Hartman's very funny.
Very
funny. And like he snatches the apron, then he ties it on himself.
Mm-hmm.
So then when Howard calls home, Ted picks up. I love the rivalry there.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm eating your wife's cookie. And then Arnold goes, you put that cookie down now.
Who told you could eat my cookie? And he sounds kind of like Cookie Monster with his accent.
Yeah. Cookie. But he can't really do anything because he can't get in touch with his wife because his wife is in the shower.
Mm-hmm. And then he runs into Myron again.
Mm-hmm.
Myron apologizes and says, hey, you know what? We're the same. You would have hit me if you had the opportunity.
Yep.
But Howard's like, no, we're not the same.
We're not the same.
Even though they definitely are.
They definitely are. And Myron suggests that they team up. But Howard is just like, no.
And he says, we could be like Starsky and Hutch or Ike and Tina. Well, not Ike and Tina.
Tina left.
Though they are pretty Ike and Tina.
Yeah.
In their relationship. Howard turns him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the race continues,
mm-hmm.
but he accidentally, when Ted had the reindeer earlier and Howard was running off, Ted suggested chaining his tires. He said it might get icy, but Howard hates Ted, so he didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
So it's icy. So when Howard tries to, go forward, he ends up backing up into the motorcycle of the same cop that pulled him over earlier.
Yeah.
That's such a comedy thing where it's always the same police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Howard has to deal with the cop, and Myron just passes him by laughing.
Is there a problem here, officer?
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
Right?
Then we get the scene sequence shot in Mall of America.
Yes.
Because we're in Minneapolis, we forgot to say.
And they're trying to do like a ball lottery, and they're also doubling the price.
Yeah, instead of like, I guess they're usually like ping pong balls, or that's like bingo. But the lottery numbers are on these bouncy balls.
Yeah. It should have been ping pong.
Which doesn't really make sense for a toy store, because they usually sell bouncy balls. Like, that's probably some of their merch.
Yeah.
But
they figure they're going to make so much money off these Turbo Man dolls that
that's true.
Really don't matter.
So the balls are released and it's madness.
It's madness because they're bouncing everywhere. Yeah.
Myron gets one though, but Howard gets him jumped.
Yeah.
By calling out, hey, he got two.
He got two. And they dogpile him and send the ball flying away. And Howard has to chase
it. Bounces down the escalator.
Yeah, he has to chase it.
All through the Mall of America while one of the songs from the Nutcracker is playing.
Mm-hmm. And it lands into a kid's lap. And so now he has to find this kid to get the ball.
A kid in very Danny Torrance from The Shining-esque red sweatshirt and blue overalls and like bowl cut.
Mm-hmm.
Howard's chasing him through this playground. You get that scene of him crawling through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Ends up in the ball pit.
Yep. And he grabs the kid,
but
is swiftly attacked by a mom of moms, calling him a pervert.
Classic moms hitting a guy with their purses.
Yeah.
Pervert.
Pervert. I'm not a pervert. I just want the Turbo Man doll.
But the mall Santa, played by Jim Belushi, sees this all go down and says, hey, you say you want a Turbo Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a deal.
Yeah. So now he's on the move with Santa and Santa's helper.
Yeah. Off to Santa's warehouse.
Where there's a password, which is Jingle Bells, Batman Smells.
What a classic. Howard is very suspicious. Says something about this doesn't seem kosher. But Santa is going to lay that to rest by saying, come on, we do this for the kids. And then he breaks out into song.
Yeah, there's like a barbershop quartet song. But
yeah, everyone
But it's more than four people. It's all the Santas.
Yeah, it's all the Santas.
It's all about the little boy that Santa Claus forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a real song or is that original for this?
I have no idea.
It's the only song I hadn't heard before.
Yeah, I've only heard it in Jingle All the Way.
So he ends up buying the Turbo Man doll, $300, pre-wrapped.
Yep.
But he goes against Santa's suggestion, and he opens it right there.
Yep.
Revealing, uh-oh, it's counterfeit.
It's a bootleg, and it's in Spanish.
Yeah, it's bootleg, and it's not even English.
It's not even English. And then he really goes to, like, dig into it, and it just starts to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so he calls them a con man, which to the Santas is fighting
in the North
words.
Pole, that them's fighting words.
Them's is fighting words. So it's time to fight. Howard strikes first, pulling Santa's beard and kind of smacking him with it, with the beard.
And his fist, I think.
And he just goes like, Yeah, he flies. He does like a headstand flip thing into a pole and then it's chaos from there.
Yeah, we get the Frank Sinatra-esque, I don't know if it was Sinatra, it's like one of those singers, whatever style that is, cover of Jingle Bells.
Mm-hmm.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle, yeah.
That one smells.
Mm-hmm. It's rockabilly, right? No?
No.
Okay.
What's the Sinatra style called? Lounge?
Yeah, it's lounge.
Lounge? Howard's got to fight all these Santas. One of them has candy cane nunchucks.
Yep.
One of them is the Big Show.
The Big Show.
You mentioned earlier from Fighting With My Family.
Wow, it's Big Show week over here.
Towering over Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's giant Santa. Howard tries punching him, but it's not getting anywhere.
Nope, he gets tossed.
He gets tossed, and then Lil Santa on his shoulders, played by Vern Troyer. AKA Mini Me from
Austin
Powers.
Oh, that was Vern?
Yep.
He's so tiny.
Yeah, he's on Schwarzenegger's neck, pulling his hair. And then we get the classic. I think we just talked about this in Batman as like the classic, like corny fight moves.
Yeah.
The old get the person to punch one of their allies instead of you. Dodge attack.
Mm-hmm. And this sends little
Big Show Vern. Punches Vern Troyer.
Yeah, he goes flying all the way across the room.
Oh, it's rough. Vern Troyer is great, though.
Mm-hmm. And they finally get him down, Howard, and then they dogpile him.
Yeah.
Right? So all the Santas and Mrs. Claus and the elves, they're all on top of Howard. But then it's a raid. The cops bust in, you know, and everyone starts to scatter. And Howard comes up with this brilliant idea. He's like, ooh, here's a toy police badge. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to Agent Carter this, you know.
Yeah, it pretends to be undercover, even though, like, if he were an undercover officer, he would be in a Santa suit, probably.
Right. Yeah,
but
probably.
Yeah, he just pulls the move where he yells at the person like, mm-hmm. Wait till the commissioner hears about this.
He right.
just storms off. He gets away with it.
He gets away.
But he doesn't have any gas.
Nope. That's it. So, we cut to Ted.
Yeah, back at the sack.
Ted is handing out hot chocolate, and the ladies, they're loving him again.
And the kids are playing with the reindeer, so mm-hmm. the moms. Ted's son named the reindeer Ted after his awesome dad.
Yep.
And he suggests to his friend Jamie that his parents should get divorced because it did his dad wonder.
Yep, he wasn't always like this.
Howard, the I'll Be Home for Christmas song. Pretty sad because mm-hmm. he's not home.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to a diner instead. Calls home because he's going to tell the truth to his wife finally. Going to come clean.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamie picks up.
Yep.
And says, Mom's outside petting Ted.
Yes. And he's like, just put your mom on the phone. And then Jamie's just trying to be like, hey, you promised that you would be here, and like, the day is almost over.
Well, he said, promise you'd be here for the Wintertainment Parade for Turbo Man. You know, like he always says, always keep your promises if you want to keep your friends.
Yeah.
It's really piling the guilt
mm-hmm.
onto Howard.
And Howard kind of snaps on mm-hmm. his kid a little bit, but his kid snaps back.
Yeah, for not keeping his promises.
Yeah, like, you never keep your promises. Like, what would you know about promises? And then he hangs up on him.
Mm-hmm. So he never gets to talk to his wife.
Nope.
And now he might start looking for Turbo Man again. Who knows?
Who knows? But Myron joins him at the diner.
It's Myron again. Now they're going to bond over some coffee that Myron spiked with his liquor.
Yeah.
There's a theories online that Myron doesn't have children, and he just wants a toy for himself. And watching it this time with this speech he gives about his childhood and his father didn't get him the Johnny 7 for Christmas,
yeah,
and he gets really into acting out all the 7 guns that he does,
yeah,
you get the sense that maybe this guy would play with Turbo Man himself if he got it.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. I can see that.
I'm not mad. Get him Turbo Man.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has that whole story. And they bond over fathers being disappointing to sons on Christmas.
Yeah. But this union is cut short because on the radio, mm-hmm. there is a contest to be the 10th caller or whatever.
Yeah, whoever station. Names all the reindeer.
Yeah, gets a Turbo Man.
Can you name the reindeer? Wait, can I name the reindeer?
No. Prancer, Dancer, Flexer.
Rudolph.
Cancer.
He's the red-nosed one.
Lancer.
Blazer.
Dixon.
A blazer.
Taser. I don't know
either. So Howard and Myron are gonna fight again in the diner.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting slammed into the phone, the payphone at the diner that Howard was just on, just destroying it.
Yeah.
Until the guy at the diner breaks it up and says, it's only 2 blocks away. You should just go to the station.
So now it's a race to the station.
Yeah, and while they're running, Howard's reciting all the reindeer names. He gets ahead of Myron, who's throwing packages now.
Yes.
He'll use anything he has. Howard Kool-Aid Man's into the radio station.
Yeah.
We find out that the DJ is none other than Martin Mull.
Mm-hmm.
In a ponytail.
In a pony. And they try and get the toy from him. Do they name all the reindeers? I can't remember.
Howard does. But that's not how it works.
Right.
You don't go to the station. And then Myron comes in.
With a bomb.
He pretends that a package is a bomb. Or he claims a package is a bomb.
Yeah.
Gives a whole speech about people sending bombs in the mail on Christmas.
Right.
He's a postal worker, so he knows.
Mm-hmm.
He throws it.
Yeah.
Slow motion of the package in the air.
No.
Yeah, Howard ducks for cover. The package lands right next to him, but it's just a music box.
It's a music box.
Playing Jingle Bells.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second Jingle Bells of mm-hmm. the movie.
All right, so there's been a miscommunication because the radio station host does not have a Turbo Man doll on him.
Yeah.
What he meant was you'll get a Turbo Man eventually.
It's a gift certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the police are going to show up outside waiting for Howard and Myron.
Yep, pointing all their guns at Myron.
Yep.
Mm.
Myron does the bomb speech again.
He does.
The bomb bluff.
That's crazy.
And he gets the police to drop their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And he manages to exit.
Right.
Howard, by this point, has ran away, leaving Myron to have all the guns pointed at him.
Yep. Also, that police gag happens again because it's the same officer.
It's the same police officer after Myron leaves. He says, I've been on the bomb squad for 10 years or something.
Yeah. This ain't no bomb. This is just a package. Yeah,
shakes it. But then as Myron's running away, we see the explosion.
Right? And Myron himself is surprised. Like, that was a bomb? Man, there are some sick people in this world. Sick people.
Apparently a lot of Sinbad's dialogue was improvised.
I bet.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't imagine Joe Pesci saying some of that stuff.
Yeah, it would have been different ad-libbing.
Mm-hmm. Howard gets back to his car, but people spray-painted Merry Xmas on the windshield and took all the parts.
Chopped it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now he's in a tow truck.
Now he's in a tow truck. Ted, meanwhile, back at home, is placing the star on... oops, never mind. That's a little bit ahead. Because there is the ride, right?
Yeah, we cut between Howard's in the tow truck practicing apologies to the tow truck driver.
Who is not helpful. In fact, a little hurtful.
And then Ted's at Howard's house putting Howard's star on Howard's Christmas tree, which Liz says Howard likes to do himself.
Right? She is standing up for her man, but her man doesn't see that. She just sees that Ted is putting the star up. And this drives him a little mad.
Yeah, Howard sees it from outside the window. Yeah. So he decides he's going to steal the Turbo Man from under Ted's tree.
Yep, and so that's what he goes breaks in.
Breaks into Ted's place with the credit card in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But guess who's home? Ted. The reindeer.
The reindeer, Ted. Well, he actually runs into the reindeer like after he has a change of heart.
Oh.
Because he's actually successful. Like, he has the package in his hand. Mm-hmm. He's going to take it. And he's just like, you know what? I can't do this. So he goes to put it back. But when he's sneaking out the back door, the reindeer is waiting for him.
Yeah, it chases him through the house. Yep. Lots of damage. A fire is started.
Yep.
He's caught by Ted and Liz.
Yep. And he's like, this is not what it looks like. And they're like, yeah, it looks bad.
Yeah, Liz says, you know what? You stay here. I'm going to go to the Christmas parade. Ted will drive me.
Yeah.
Ted says, you can't bench press your way out of this one.
Ha ha. Yeah, he didn't even need to tell his wife that he failed because he showed her that he failed. So the holiday parade. And it looks like the Thanksgiving parade, but Christmassy.
Yeah, shot on Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Howard decides to go because he sees the picture that Jamie drew of the family. Remembers his promise.
Yeah.
Says he's going to go to the parade.
He's going to go to the parade, which, you know, good for him. So at finally the parade, getting the message.
We hear Jingle Bells for the third time,
mm-hmm.
but a different arrangement. Like, I mean, the movie's named after a line from that song. I like that it keeps coming up, but in different forms.
Different forms, different renditions. Ted is pushing heavy on Liz. Like, heavy.
Yeah, Jamie and his son get out of the car, and then it's Ted's time to try to seduce Liz.
Mm-hmm. Opens up, tells her that many women want to be in your position, and, you know, I knew two months ago when you asked me about sushi.
No, at the barbecue, at the cookout, where you asked me how to marinate the ahi tuna, and I said, it's just, all you need is Italian salad dressing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a great move, fellas. But it doesn't work for Ted.
Nope.
Liz, love it. Bonks him with the thermos of non-alcoholic eggnog that Ted made her.
Now there's eggnog all over his face.
Yeah, he's burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and figuratively.
Hiding Howard is mistaken as the actor that is going to play Turbo Man.
Well, wait, first Howard sees Ted and Liz in the car pre-eggnog to the face,
mm-hmm.
but he runs into that officer again,
who's
holding coffee. He falls down. His hands are bandaged from the bomb. That officer
is so dedicated. If a bomb went off in my hands, I'd have went home, or I'd have been in the hospital, or dead.
Mm. So he gets hot coffee poured on his hands.
Yeah.
And then Howard's mistaken for Turbo Man actor.
Yep. And they just pretty much just throw him into the suit, and he doesn't have any time to talk because they're talking really fast. We learned that the actor that was originally going to play Turbo Man in the parade got hurt.
But he's showing brain activity now.
So that's great. So it's showtime, and, Turbo Man pops up, and it's Howard as Turbo Man.
Yeah.
And he looks great.
But he also has with him a Turbo Man doll,
mm-hmm.
which he gets to give... as part of the parade to one of the kids in the crowd. So, hey, This is what he wanted.
This is his opportunity.
This is the chance.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, he should have passed Jamie already.
Yeah, on that true. Car.
Yeah, he should have passed him, and then he should have been like, the kid back there, Jamie, all the way back there. But no.
Yeah, that would have been a better movie.
But no, it's movie magic. The timing is perfect, even though they saluted each other, that Jamie is right in front of him. And he picks out Jamie.
Timberman says, Jamie. And he says, how did he know my name?
He knows my name.
But then, of course, it wouldn't be a Turbo Man parade without the appearance of Turbo Man's arch nemesis, Dementor.
Dementor.
Who Myron, kidnaps and steals the costume.
Yeah.
So it's Myron.
It's Myron. It's Dementor. It's great.
And Myron's getting really into the part. Mm-hmm. He's, like, doing all the catchphrases.
Yeah.
He kidnaps Jamie, essentially.
Yeah, he does.
Because Jamie has the Turbo Man toy and will not give it up.
No, not for his life.
And the...
Which...
Yeah.
It could have been.
The Dementor, his henchmen are, like, attacking Turbo Man this whole time. And it's not like they're in on the plan with Myron.
No.
It's just that Howard doesn't know the fight choreography, so he's just being dogpiled by the little minions.
Yeah. So, Jamie is climbing to new heights. Like, he is, like, up on a scaffolding.
Yeah.
He's, like, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's dangling.
Yeah.
And so, Howard, Turbo Man, figures out that he can fly. He has a jetpack.
I think Jamie says, use your jetpack.
Yeah. And, it's exactly what you think it would be, someone first time using a jetpack. He's all over the place.
Yeah, this sequence actually includes, I think, at least from a thematic standpoint, my favorite shot in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He Kool-Aid mans through an apartment as a family is saying prayers before eating Christmas dinner.
It destroys their dinner.
It's just like they're trying to have the religious Christmas moment, and then in comes Turbo Man wrecking their apartment.
Yes.
Right through the window. It's just like a 2-second thing, but it's great.
Mm-hmm. Jamie is going to fall.
Oh yeah.
He's falling, in fact. And so Turbo Man gets his act together and he's able to catch him. Just like in the beginning. Wow, it's like we saw it already. I just want to say this. The mom is not freaked out enough for me. She is not freaked out. Like,
she thinks it's part of it.
She knows her son is not a part of the show, and she's watching her son dangle from a scaffolding and falling. And she's just like, oh, honey, I know. It's great. Your hero saved you. Yay.
She did just have like a long day.
She did have a long day. She's drained. Moms.
And then, Myron gets the toy from Jamie.
Yeah.
But then the police go after him.
Yeah. For some reason, which doesn't make any sense, the cops arrest Myron, but not Howard. And,
Because
Howard's Turbo Man. He's a good guy. And Jamie now has the toy. And he's hearing Myron talk about how his son is going to be disappointed when he comes home with gift.
Right.
And so Jamie decides to give up the gift. Because that is the true meaning of Christmas is to give.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's just like, you know, I don't need the toy when I have Turbo Man at home. I got the real thing. So, you know, he's happy with his dad now.
Wait, did we talk about the reveal yet, though?
Let's
talk about it now.
It
was Howard.
It was Howard.
Howard was Turbo.
Howard was Turbo Man.
Did
they not know? He changed his accent.
It's crazy. You get the line, I'm your father.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a Star Wars reference. But he's saying it to Jake Lloyd before he goes on to play Anakin, who ends up being Darth Vader in Star Wars. Pretty cool, guys.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Very funny that his wife was surprised that the guy with the thick Austrian accent was
Howard. Ooh, Howard.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know your husband's sexy.
Yeah.
So it's a happy ending.
Yeah, I mean, for most people.
For Howard.
Not for Myron.
Not for Myron.
Well, kind of. He gets the toy, but he goes to jail, so I'm pretty sure they confiscated it.
Yeah. And then the last classic Christmas song, Oh Christmas Tree, as Howard finally gets to put the star on the tree. Apparently, this scene was originally like an end credit sequence, but has since been put before the credits, and I think it works well
because it works better. Yeah,
he's putting the star on the tree, and Liz says, "If you went to all this effort just to get our son a toy, what did you get me?" And then the camera like
zooms in on his face, and he's just like,
And that's it.
That's the Jingle All the Way.
Is Jingle All the Way a film or is it a film?
It is a Christmas film masterpiece. No, Jingle All the Way is a Christmas movie. It's a
Christmas movie, and guys. It is
still a masterpiece.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
It's fun.
It's really fun.
It's fun.
It's good to have fun. Yeah. Guys, reviewers, critics, peers.
What do you think about Jingle All the Way? Let us know at Movie Film Pod on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com. Tell us your favorite Christmas movies and Christmas films. And we'll be back next week with another one on movie film. I feel like that was the most efficient like ending I've done before.
Yeah.
I don't want to draw attention to it. I was doing
my inner Turbo Man, you know what I mean?